morning is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 to 48. New Testament. Book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 to 48.
Go the second mile.
No?
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak too also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not the tax collectors do it also? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Once again.
Get out of here.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
It's good to be here. And blessed be the name of the Lord for giving us this privilege to gather here and worship Him. First and foremost, I would like to thank God for the lesson we've had today. And that is the beauty of coming to church, because we continue to learn fresh thing or same thing in a different way. What we'll be discussing with ourselves is titled, What is Your Guide? What is your guide for life? As children of God, we are all here today because we believe that there is a superior knowledge that is beyond what we know, and we want to assimilate it and pattern our life in it. So the Holy Spirit has guided me to put together for our advice this morning is, what is your guide for life? Have you ever wondered why people behave in a certain way? Why people do things in a particular way? What forms people's idea? What forms their opinion? Have you ever imagined why do people have a certain knowledge structure? Because as children of God, we live in a world that is full of so much information. We have different experiences. But as a child of God, what should guide your life? What should be your standard? What should be the thing that you look up to for you to take knowledge, idea, actions that will guide your life? As individuals, most of the things we do, our behavior, attitude, and disposition are shaped by the things that surround us. For example, if you grew up in a certain family, you are likely going to behave the way they behave in that family. If we work with certain friends, we are likely to mimic their lifestyle. But what is important is, in the midst of all of this, how are we supposed to be as children of God? What guides your disposition to life? What shaped you? The things that usually shaped us are the things that we see, possibly things that we perceive, things that we listen to, our life experiences. All these things shape what we have perceived to be right or wrong, what we seem to be moral or immoral. They form the basis of our standard. If you look at the Bible reading that talks about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and Jesus described how we should react to all this. He said, if somebody slapped you on the right cheek, you should turn. Naturally, it seems unwise and stupid. How can you hurt me? And I still remain there. But because this knowledge are not the knowledge of man, they are the knowledge of God. Let's take the Bible reading, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. Proverbs 16, 25. Anyone that sees it?
16, 25.
Yes,
please. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
The Bible told us that there is a way that seems right. In this world, some of the things that shape our character, our actions and decisions, and the things that we see in our society, they feel right. But the Bible told us that not all the way that seems right that leads to eternal life. The Bible says, a way might seem right, but the end is the way of destruction. And that is the reason, the whole essence of this sermon is for us to consider the things that we take in every day, the things that we do, the things that we hear, to check, is it in the standard of God? Is it the precept of God? Let's quickly take a look. What are the things that shape our action in today's world? We see that friends and family, they shape how we behave and what we do and what we say, and our character, our companion, our close relationship, our family values. Some things that we are used to, our background, some of these things are not just because today we behave in a certain way or do certain things. It is because that's probably what we have been, what we have perceived, or we have been taught, or we have experienced to be right or wrong. One big thing that shapes people's lives today is social media. You will notice that most of us, there is no way, if you have this mobile phone, that you will not go through one social media or the other. There are billions and billions of information that goes through the social media every day. But how true are this knowledge? How valuable are they to guide you as a Christian or to guide your life as a child of God? We also see culture, society. Today in our world, most of the things we do, especially as young people, and things that goes on in the society, what is perceived to be norm. You know, when you go to other clients, there are certain things that is perceived to be okay. And we find that we are always inclined towards what is socially okay. But are these standards of God for a guide to a godly living? Common practices, people what people do every day, government, regulations. For example, if you drive, say in America or maybe in Nigeria, there is a certain way we drive. It's American style that we use in Nigeria. But you can't come and do that kind of driving here in the UK. You will fall under the law. So the same way, our lives and values are shaped by government regulations, because that is what the government has perceived to be right within their plan. But as a child of God, are all government regulations abiding in the spirit, in the spiritual way? We are in a free society where certain things are right and wrong. But not all of those things are right in the house of God. Not all of those things are okay for children of God. Another thing that guides our life today, our current world, that people kind of take examples and action from, is strength. Strength. What are strength? Strength are the prevailing things that goes on around us, whether by dressing, fashion, slang. And a very good example is vaping. Have you ever noticed that vaping is a trend? Some people vape not because they want to vape, but because it looks cool as a young person. And some Christians erroneously fall into vaping. Vaping is the same thing as smoking tobacco. It contains the same thing, it's just that the concentration is different. It has hazards, the same thing. But what is popular? Is it a standard of God? Our dressing, what form of decency? Sometimes we say, oh, it's not bad, because generally people seem to wear it. But what is decent as a child of God? Let's take another Bible reading. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. The Bible told us that we should trust in the Lord. Thank you. Keep reading.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding.
The Bible told us that we should not lean upon our own understanding. Also, turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible told us that, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So as children of God, we cannot follow the way of God. There are standards, there are guides for us to live our life as children of God. For us to be pleasing with God, we have to follow His guide. Because it's popular, because it's trending, because it feels cool, or because this is how I was brought up, or because this is how maybe my mentor or people that we know behave, does not make it a standard of God. What are the dangers of following ungodly guides? Because all of these things, today, for example, in the social media, there are so many information. If you want to know whether drinking water is good, you'll find it in the social media. If you just type it, drinking water is good on YouTube, there will be a video talking about it. If you want to find out whether drinking water is bad, just type it. You'll see another person talking about it, that drinking water can be bad. So we have so much cluttered information that some of these things erroneously shape our lives. But where should we be? Without the guide of God, We cannot do things right. We may be, the Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of this world. Let's take two popular examples of people who follow ungodly guidance and they suffer consequence for it. An example is King Jeroboam. King Jeroboam is the son of Solomon. When Solomon was the king of Israel, the Bible told us that Solomon made the life of, you know, there are 12 tribes in Israel. He made the life of the Israelites, which forms about 10. He made their life difficult, and Judah and the other tribe, they had it easier. And so when Solomon died, his son Jeroboam became the king. The Israelites came to him, the other 10 tribes, that your father has made our life difficult. Now that you are the new king, what would you do to make our lives better? You know what Jeroboam did? He turned to the elders, because Solomon was very wise, and people come to him and seek his knowledge. He turned to the elders and asked them, what do you think we can do so that I can do for these people? They advised him in a godly way, because these people have been benefiting from the wisdom of Solomon when he was there. They told him, your father has made the life of these people difficult. You need to slow it down so that you can win them. You know what he did? He turned again to his friends and asked them. He said, no, don't do that. That is in the olden days, in the days of your father. This is your own time. Tell them, their life has been difficult, but he's going to multiply the difficulty. And so this is what the king Jeroboam did. Because he did not follow godly counsel, he was severely punished. The Israelites decided that since you are not going to take care of us, we will separate from you. And that is how the kingdom of Israel became divided. And 10 of those tribes stood on their own and started having their own kings. So he lost because he did not follow godly counsel. Another example, I like the story of the kings, and I've been in it for a while. And coincidentally, the church has also been studying the book of the life of the children of Israel. It's King Amnon and David. King Amnon was the son of another king who recently died, and David sent homage, a condolence to him. Instead of him receiving the condolence, he sought advice, and he rather waged war against David, and he was severely punished for it. So today, when we don't seek godly counsel, we are likely going to get serious punishment. The Bible says there is a way that seems right. It may seem right, but the end is the way of destruction. Godly counsel can lead to the destruction of our lives. Just like the life of the two examples of King Jeroboam and King Amnon. King Amnon even made alliances, but by the Spirit and the power of God, they were all punished. And his alliance promised that they will never support him anymore. When we don't follow godly counsel, it can lead to losses. Example is what happened to King Jeroboam. He lost 10 tribes out of his kingdom. He has just swept 12 and he lost 10. When we don't follow God's guidance, it can lead to losses. My brothers and sisters, if we don't follow God's guide, it can lead to shame. Because when we follow the people of the world, they don't have any hope. But we have hope and promises. Some of the things we do wrong, if we want to be Christian, and yet we still want to be trending with the world. And I tell you, by the time you follow the world, they will be the one to mock you. After all, you call yourself a child of God. Not following godly counsel can lead to shame and condemnation. The people will condemn you, and God will also condemn you. When we don't follow godly counsel, we might lose our pride and dignity. You see, when we are with God, we have hope, we have confidence. But when we don't follow God, we might lose the value and the pride of being a child of God. Not following godly counsel can lead to death, both physically and spiritually. So it is very important that the things that we do and our life is guided by the Spirit of God. The book of Matthew chapter 7, 17 to 21, the Bible told us that by their fruits we shall know them. Let's read 7, 13 to 14. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. It's a very popular passage.
Enter by narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it.
The Bible told us that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and so many. Today we find people, plenty, doing wrong. But as children of God, the Bible warned us that this, the end of it, is destruction. But the way of life, the Bible says it is narrow and it leads to eternal life. So, what should we do? How can we identify the way of God? How do we know that all of this information that surrounds us and lifestyle and behavior, how do we know which one is right? First and foremost, we have to trust in the Lord. We have to trust in His word for direction. The book of Psalm, chapter 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light in my path.
Yes. The word of God, the Bible says, is a lamp unto our faith. If you don't have the word of God in you, come to classes like this, come to read, do personal study, and have the word living in you, there is no way you can be guided. Following Christ is not by feeling, it's by knowledge. And you have to seek knowledge. The Bible told us that wisdom is the principal thing. You say, seek wisdom and seek understanding. So we have to learn from God through personal study, through coming to Bible classes, through sharing with people who know even beyond more than you. Another way to trust in the Lord is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. Proverbs 3, 5 to 8. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean upon, not upon your own understanding. So many things that we perceive to be right may not necessarily be right. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, He told us that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. Sometimes it might look good, but may not be morally right. The Bible don't want us to just follow anyone or follow people, but He wants us to follow His example. And that is why I appreciate the example from Lot and Abraham this morning. Some of these Bible principles can guide our life. We should endeavor to take our guide from the Word of God. Another way we can help ourselves to know the truth in life is by praying. A lot of us trivialize what prayer can do. The Bible told us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and is saved. See, calling the name of the Lord is a powerful tool. When we speak the name of the Lord into whatever we are doing, there will be direction. We can seek for help. The kingdom of God is not for the strong ones. It's for the weak people. It's for the humble. We need to seek God in prayer that God, guide me. God, I need your help. And he will surely rise up to help you. Oh, Hebrews chapter 3 from 12 to 13. He says, and Hebrews chapter 3 verse 12 to 13.
Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. For there is no one another daily, what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness.
The Bible says, exalting ourselves while it is called today, so that we will not be hardened. Sometimes we think that we are right, but it is just the deceit of sin. Sin makes it feel good. But by the time we follow the guide of the Bible, we will not get it wrong. So we should seek help in prayer. Another way is daily reflection. How often do we reflect on our actions, on the things that we do? As children of God, we have to have a moment of reflection. This stand, this opinion, this behavior, this action of mine, is it right? If Christ has to be in this situation, will he behave in this manner? As children of God, we have to learn how to reflect. We can do reflection just before we go to bed. Or at one time or the other, we need to pause and wait and reflect and check. Am I on the right path? Another way that can help us is to seek it to support each other. The kingdom of God is not in isolation, and that is why you cannot be a Christian in isolation. And I can tell you, nobody will walk to heaven in isolation, because we have a responsibility towards each other. If you make it to heaven and your brother lost, I tell you, there's no way you can receive the crown of God, because the Bible says, for anyone who knows how to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. The Bible wants us to be our brother's keeper. The journey to life eternal is not easy. The Bible, God wants us to hold ourselves, and that's why we come here for advice every time. And God, he wants us to hold our hands. And we should not be a stumbling block to our fellow Christians. Some of our lifestyle are stumbling block. In our lesson this morning, the teacher said that the first stage is to describe the problem. You understand? Analyze your situation. What you are doing, your action, your behavior, is it making others fall away from Christ? So we have to support each other, and we should not be a stumbling block. In conclusion, my brethren, let us decide today to make only God our standard, not our choices, not our opinion, not our feelings. Recently, I read something that said that love is not a feeling. Love is a commandment. It's not a choice. We often do things because we think, we feel, we are not comfortable. You don't have to be comfortable. Remember, The Bible says, what is the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. He said, the second is like unto it. To love our neighbor, to love our friends, to do what is right, to be spiritual, to be godly, it's not about I feel so. It's not convenience. It is the law. And when we don't do it, we'll be falling short. We have to decide today, and we have to do a daily reflection. The Bible told us in the book of 2 John 9, he said, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Sometimes you might think that we are making progress, but if we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, in his ways, in his lifestyle, we don't have God. So we have to continue to do daily reflection. We need to seek him in prayer, and we need to decide. In conclusion, let's read for our final reading, Mark chapter 8, 36 to 37.
What would it profit the man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? But what would the man give in exchange for his soul?
The Bible told us that what is your gain if you are trading, if you win the battle, if you are successful, if you are popular? What is the gain if you lose your soul? Or what can a man use in exchange of his own soul? Let's choose God today as our guide, as our standard, and the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.